The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn.
But hurry, these offers won't last forever.
Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
It's time to change the situation if Tottenham want to change.
It's in the past, it's in the past. Then we look forward, buy our football positive. We're wearing Tottenham shirts, we buy the Tottenham white.
And still Ricky Villa! What a fantastic run! He scored!
That's going to have a crack. He is, you know.
Well, hello, everybody. Welcome to another edition of the Tottenham Way podcast, which follows another league defeat, this time at home to Leicester City. Yes, it really happened 24 hours on. I still can't quite believe it. Then again, I can believe it. I'm Marcus Buckland. Dan Kilpatrick of The Standard is with me. He's written a piece today stating that Spurs are now officially in a relegation battle. Do you really believe that, Dan?
Hi, Marcus. Well, I've been quite journalistic in that piece and I've used clever language to say they are very much in danger of being sucked into a relegation battle. And I do genuinely believe that. I do believe that. I mean, it's easy to say, but a few weeks ago, I think before the Everton game, we talked about it on here and Tom Allnutt made the very astute point that it felt like more of a thing that pundits and journalists and perhaps rival fans could talk about for a bit of banter, but didn't really feel like a realistic proposition. But you know, suddenly you look at the two teams Spurs have just lost to in the league. Everton, one win in their previous 12 games. Okay, admittedly, they had a new manager in David Moyes taking charge of his second game, but still, that was a dreadful result at Goodison Park and Spurs made them look brilliant in the first half. And then Leicester, on the back of seven straight defeats in the league, one win in 14 league games. And again, you could make a case that they were decent value for at least a point, if not all three on Sunday. So it really is diabolical, the form. One win in 11 now, 10 defeats in the last 15 games, going back to Crystal Palace. So this is relegation form. You know, you can't discount it, I think. Spurs are sliding toward the drop zone and, you know, it is 8 points still to the bottom three, but I think, you know, 8 points can pretty quickly become four or five. And then, you know, you are within one bad result or one little swing of being right in it. And looking at the list of fixtures, as we just did before we started recording, you're kind of getting to the stage where it's difficult to see where Spurs' next win is coming from in the league. You know, maybe Southampton at home, which I think is not till April. You know, they all look tough on fixtures. They all look tough fixtures on paper because it's such a competitive Premier League this season, and there are so many well-coached teams, and the middle class is really booming. So, you know, it's looking a bit bleak. I mean, if I was a betting man, I would say Spurs will get their players back, and they will get more than enough points to be safe and probably climb into mid-table. But I think we can no longer keep being blasé about the prospect of a relegation battle. I think Spurs are very much in danger of being sucked into one, and the way they're playing and the way they seem to have taken their eye off the ball in the league kind of lends itself to the situation only getting worse.
You mentioned the forthcoming fixtures. Let me just run through those quickly. It's Brentford away on Sunday, and although they've dipped a little bit in terms of their home form, they have been excellent in front of their fans, and they picked up their second away win of the season against Crystal Palace on Sunday. So that's obviously going to be very difficult. Manchester United at home. Well, I mean, United aren't great, but they ground out a good win at Fulham. And we had that thriller, that extraordinary match, of course, against them in the League Cup not so long ago. Then a trip to Ipswich, which, yeah, could well be, sounds ridiculous, a relegation six-pointer, followed by a home game against Manchester City. I appreciate we have a good record against City, but they've signed a couple of players. That's going to be very difficult. Who comes after that? Bournemouth, the form team at the moment, who've been absolutely outstanding. And the last match in March is a trip to Fulham. And although they lost to Manchester United yesterday, That was only, I think, their second league defeat in 15 games. So I would concur that none of those matches look easy. It's quite possible that we will head into April without another win to our belt, in which case the club will be in a relegation battle. And bearing all that in mind, Dan, and I know you've pinned your colours to the Postecoglou mast from the word go, but do we now need to change the manager?
Well, look, from the word go, I've tried to be objective about what I've seen, I think, and I have seen enough to think that Postecoglou is not the problem. I think, in a way, the Leicester game didn't really change much, but it did kind of clarify a few things for me. I mean, one thing it clarified is that we can't discount a relegation battle for reasons I've just gone through. The other thing it clarified is that while I don't think Postecoglou is primarily to blame for the situation, I think that has to rest with the board and Levy. I also don't think he's the ideal manager for the situation Spurs find themselves in, at least in the league. You know, he is clearly, as we know, not a manager who is going to compromise on his fundamentals. He is not going to change his approach to try and scrap for points. And that does not lend itself to being in a scrap at the foot of the table and possibly a full-blown relegation battle. I think it is obviously very hard for the players to play his football, which is very high tempo, relying on really energetic and aggressive pressing, when they're as exhausted as they are. And they are clearly absolutely exhausted, the fit players, the remaining players. So I kind of look at it and I think, would a more pragmatic coach have got something out of that Leicester game, 3 points or at least a point? And I think, yeah, with those players available, even in the condition they're in, probably yes. So I can almost kind of see the argument for replacing Postecoglou if you think relegation's a genuine possibility. You know, if you think we need someone to get points on the board, then I don't necessarily think he's the man in this situation. But kind of having said that, I still think sacking him feels like it could make the situation even worse given the lack of obvious alternatives. I mean, the last time I guess Spurs were actually flirting at the bottom of the table was 2008. That was in October, admittedly, much, much earlier in the season. And they went and got Harry Redknapp, who kind of was going to play attacking football and so kind of please the fans and not be kind of the complete antithesis of Spurs, but equally kind of was always going to be able to get results in the Premier League with that squad. I don't see a kind of similar equivalent out there today that Spurs could go and get who would sort of stabilise things for the rest of the season, guarantee results and keep kind of trying to play on the front foot and develop young players and all the rest of it. So it's a really sticky spot, I think. And I guess what's also, I think, been clarified really is that Postecoglou is going to get that week against Liverpool and Villa, isn't he? Because Spurs aren't going to sack him this week, I don't think. Famous last words. You know, he's going to take charge from what I'm told, or the media has been told, you know, the two press conferences on Wednesday and Friday and be in charge against Elfsborg and Brentford. That being the case, it's very hard to see him, even if both those games are losses, it's very hard to see him being sacked before that huge week. You just couldn't suddenly sack him a couple of days before a cup semi-final. The Spurs are leading 1-0. So I think he's going to get the chance to turn it round, to kind of salvage the season. And the season is still, you know, very salvageable, you know, with wins in those cup games, or at least one win in those two games, along with the Europa League. And Ange was speaking after the Leicester game, you know, about how he still believes Spurs can achieve something special this season and really kind of talking up their potential once the players get back.
Well, two things I'll say there, Dan. Of course, he's going to keep bigging things up. He has to, just to, you know, try and curry belief that he can eventually do something successful. On the subject of sacking him just before the second leg of a League Cup semi-final, well, of course, we know that Daniel Levy is more than capable of sacking a manager just before a huge cup game, as Jose Mourinho discovered to his cost 2 or 3 years ago, just before they played Manchester City at Wembley. So I wouldn't entirely rule that out. I mean, the point for me here is that I understand the argument that it would only make it worse if we did sack Postecoglou. But to be honest, how much worse can it get? These results are awful. And if Spurs continue to play the way they are, even if a couple of the players are back in time for the game at Anfield, we've got absolutely no chance of getting a result. And you know, I didn't go to the Leicester game, but obviously I've seen enough of it. I am confused, mainly about, first of all, Maddison felt sore, so he couldn't play. What on earth is going on there? Saar wasn't really fit enough to play, but did. Richarlison wanted to come off at half-time, or at least he didn't, but he said he wanted to carry on for a bit, but Postecoglou knew there was something wrong with him. He's got Gray playing out of position, where really he could have started Reguilón. I think he's lost the plot. And again, when fans were screaming at him at the end, Dan, that one bloke, I don't know if you've seen the bit where he's going up the tunnel and the bloke goes, we're going down with you or whatever. And he comes back out and he starts looking at him. That's, you've got to ignore that sort of thing. I really feel, Dan, as though something has to change here. Otherwise, we'll just get rolled over at Liverpool and at Aston Villa. I mean, Elfsborg, we should beat. I watched them play last week and they're not great. So they should get the result there. But I just wonder how much longer you carry on before addressing what to me has become the inevitable.
And I suppose to answer the first part of your question, it can get worse in that I do think the players are still playing for him. I think, you know, you saw the second half against Everton, there was no shortage of fight and desire. And I think against Leicester, you know, that they were still kind of going for it. And I know that will be little comfort to you and, you know, every Spurs fan, really, given the results. But I think it could get worse. You know, you could put in an interim manager, and I think, you know, apathy, which has, you know, seemingly infected a lot of the fan base, understandably, and seems to be kind of crippling the board at the moment as well, because they're not doing much in the transfer market. You know, could easily kind of take hold in the dressing room as well, and then you sort of become a ghost ship, sort of sleepwalking to the end of the season, and that's a bit dangerous. I don't think Spurs are kind of there under Postecoglou yet. They haven't kind of entered the zombie phase, I think, where, you know, the players have just given up on him. I really don't see that yet. So I think it could get worse. There was nothing kind of I saw in his selection yesterday that I thought was, you know, suggestive of him losing the plot. I mean, the fact is, like, he has so few options at the moment. And I do think it's kind of extraordinary that the club hasn't signed him an outfield player yet. I do think it's negligence, really. Like, having to play two players who were unfit. I mean, we know one of them was Saar. He said there were at least two that weren't fit to start. I mean, presumably the other one was Richarlison. You know, being in that situation where he is kind of risking the fitness of players and the club are kind of risking their top flight status does seem amazing to me that they haven't acted in the transfer market. I mean, I get that it's a difficult time to buy, but it's not impossible. And Spurs are in a dire situation and they've got money, so...
Well, I read into that, Dan. I read into that because they know Postecoglou's not going to be there for much longer, and they don't want to risk buying a player that the next manager
doesn't want. Yeah, I mean, there may well be something in there.
I think that's the only conclusion to that.
Had Spurs signed an attacker or two at the beginning of the month, and again, you know, I know this is difficult, but it's not impossible, then, you know, would Solanke, Werner and Johnson all be injured now if they got another forward in? If they got another defender in, would Spence be injured now? If they got another midfielder in, would Saar, Maddison and Bissouma all be carrying knocks? You know, if they'd acted a bit earlier in this window, the squad would be in a much better state. Results might be better. We might be talking about, you know, a completely different kind of mood around the whole club. But as it is, the situation has been allowed to get worse and worse. The players are getting more and more exhausted, and results are getting worse and worse. And there's no kind of obvious end to this cycle until players come back in sufficient numbers. So, yeah, I don't see that Postecoglou could have done much different yesterday in terms of his selection. He had barely 11 fit players. In the Maddison situation, I find a little bit odd. We don't know the extent of his soreness, but obviously there were some players who were playing through that soreness, namely Saar, who did not look fit. But Maddison was presumably more sore and just not able to play. Postecoglou has spoken in the past about the importance of kind of keeping him at 100%. So perhaps he's just not a player that you want to take a risk with physically, and others are. It may just be as simple as that. But he's not got many options at the moment. He really doesn't. You know, people are calling for kind of academy players to start. I can kind of get that. I mean, Will Lancashire's probably got to start Thursday, hasn't he? If Richarlison's got a tight groin. But, you know, football is a weak link sport. You know, it's not like basketball where you can have, you know, LeBron or Kobe or Steph Curry and sort of average players around them. You know, you're only as good as the worst player in your team in football generally. So I think he feels like he's got to keep playing the first team players to have any chance of maintaining performance and results. Obviously, it's not working, but I don't rest, you know, I don't put all the blame on him for that.
No, absolutely. He's been dealt a very bad hand and much of it has been out of his control. Equally, and we won't go into it all again, but we know that the methods he adopts tends to lead to players breaking down. It happened at Celtic. It's happened here again. The Maddison situation, you're right, is intriguing. I mean, you say the players are playing for him and certainly there is no evidence to suggest otherwise, but I'm sure something is going on with Maddison and Postecoglou because he's been in and out for a long time now. And it's all very well saying, oh, you can only play James Maddison when he's 100% fit. My goodness me, if you only play players when they're 100% fit, you won't have anybody for most of the season. And it was against his former club. I'd love to get to the heart of that. And I'm sure at some stage we will. So, you know, the key now, it's, what is it, January the 27th. So there's a handful of days left in this transfer window. Are you confident still that Spurs will bring in one or two players to help alleviate the situation?
No, not really. I mean, they've had 28 days to sign players and they've signed Kinski so far. I'm not counting Yang because that was a deal done in the summer and doesn't look like he's, from what I kind of hear and how Postecoglou's approached it so far, that he's anywhere near ready to help the first team. So Postecoglou suggested after the game that he thought he would get players in, and he made the point of saying even one player would be a big help in the short term. So it sounds like he's adjusted his expectations to maybe there being one new signing, maybe a new forward before the end of the month or before the deadline on February 3rd rather. But I don't think we can kind of have much confidence. As you said, it does kind of point to the fact that maybe the club has not got a huge amount of faith in Postecoglou being there long term and is kind of unwilling to act in the market. But, you know, I think this is bigger than the manager. You know, the injury situation is such that, you know, any manager in charge of Spurs in the second half of the season is going to want more depth in the squad because he's got, you know, a load of fit players who are exhausted and been pushed to the limit and a load of players coming back from medium to long-term injuries. So, you know, it's not a great situation to be in. And there's a huge amount of pressure on players like Van de Ven and Romero now to not only stay fit, but kind of be at their best and completely transform this season and this team. So I think they need to make signings. Again, I think it's kind of amazing that they haven't so far, even though I understand that January is a difficult time to buy and most clubs leave it late. You know, the fact is, in a typical January, you can leave it late. This is not a typical January. You know, this is a January where Spurs are properly in free fall, you know, headed towards a disaster. And with two of their biggest games, their kind of only chance to salvage the season right at the start of February. So, you know, signing a couple of players on February 3rd even, you know, might not be good enough because they'll have 3 days to prepare for the Liverpool game. It's hard to see a new signing starting with that little turnaround or being, you know, at their best with that little turnaround. So, you know, Spurs need something. I think they'll probably get one. If I was a betting man, that's what I'd plump for. But it feels like it's already kind of a bit little too late.
Yeah, absolutely. And it goes without saying that the deafening silence at the top of the club, the lack of leadership. I mean, I don't think anyone expected Daniel Levy to come out and issue a statement. But, you know, I watch a bit of NFL football. Okay, this is an extreme the other way, but as a Dallas Cowboys fan, you get used to hearing the owner, Jerry Jones, every week. He goes onto their own radio station and explains in detail his thought process. Wouldn't it be a bit refreshing right now to hear from somebody in Enoch to explain what's going on rather than having to listen to Ange going, oh, the club is doing its best behind the scenes. Oh, well, let's actually hear from Lang or Munn, or better still, Levy. Tell us what he thinks, what is going on. I'd love a bit more honesty and transparency, because the atmosphere is febrile. And I wonder if it is even starting to get to Daniel Levy here. The fact that you said it's a very sticky situation. I mean, in the past, he's acted quite ruthlessly, hasn't he, when he's had to. And perhaps it's revealing in a way that he's done nothing. He's said nothing this time around. Maybe he really, for the first time, does not know what to do, which is interesting, but it's not great. It merely suggests the club is going into free fall. I was racking my brains, Dan, because I did feel after yesterday, and it's not the first time I've said it. I did say that if we lost to Leicester, that at Everton, that really we'd have to think about the managerial situation, and beating Hoffenheim away, a team that I don't think had won for 2 months and scored something like 3 goals in 10 games, and actually very nearly got a result against Spurs. I don't think that really covered over many of the cracks. I just wondered, and most people will laugh, but bring back Glenn Hoddle manager for 3 or 4 months.
Oh,
give everybody a little bit of a boost. I thought tactically he was great the other night on television in the Hoffenheim game. Bring back Harry Redknapp. I know these guys, some of them are older than they'd like to admit these days. Bring in Rafa Benitez, who, by the way, as a caretaker manager, won the Europa League with Chelsea a few years ago. Bring in someone to stop the rot, to be pragmatic, to get us through to the end of the season. Because I think whatever happens, we all know, unless it's a remarkable end to the campaign, Postecoglou will not be here come the start of next season.
Well, okay. I don't know where to start there.
Why are you so anti-Glenn Hoddle coming back for 4 months?
Look, Glenn Hoddle is a legend of Tottenham. Have you ever heard him commentate on the Europa League? Do you ever watch the...
Well, no, last week he was, and I thought he was quite good.
I can scarcely think of a analyst who seems to struggle to understand modern football as much as Glenn Hoddle. He's constantly berating Spurs for playing out from the back, which every top team...
Quite right.
He's constantly suggesting as soon as they go 1-0 up that they should sit back on their lead and defend it. I think...
Well, why not? Because we've conceded more points from a winning position than anybody else this season.
I think it would be a disaster. But look, this kind of speaks to the point I was making, which is that, you know, if there was a kind of 61-year-old or, you know, whatever he was when he took the Spurs job version of Harry Redknapp around, then I can see why that would be quite appealing. And, you know, someone who... Harry did play good football, you know, he wants his players to play with freedom and attack and score goals, but again, he knew how to get results. I can see why that would be appealing. I don't think any of the candidates you've just named would be right for Spurs, and I don't see kind of someone who could immediately make a difference. I mean, I think given the lack of obvious alternatives, I do think, you know, the best thing to do is probably to judge Postecoglou at the end of the season. But to go back to what I said at the top, if Spurs genuinely are going to be in a relegation battle, which can't be discounted now, then he doesn't feel like the manager for that situation. You know, he's clearly someone who, you know, having had the journey he's had and having come as far as he's had, you know, he wants to go down. If he's going to go, I don't mean go down as in go down to the Championship. I mean sink, you know, metaphorically, on his own terms. You know, he's not going to compromise, and that is... You know, that might be a problem if you get to the point where you really do need to, you know, beat Ipswich away from home to drag yourselves away from the bottom three, which might be a scenario we're talking about in a few weeks. So I can get the appeal of not having Postecoglou kind of battling relegation for you, but I don't get the appeal of any of the choices you've named. And I still think the lack of an alternative kind of makes him the best option right now. And look, and I do think, Marcus, like, there are legitimate criticisms for Postecoglou. He hasn't been perfect, and the players haven't been perfect. But, like, as he said in the week, like, it's injuries. Like, that is the biggest reason Spurs are where they are in the league. I'm not saying they would be in the top four without them, or if they'd had a bit of luck. But take the starting goalkeeper, 3 of the starting back four, most of the forwards, you know, out of any squad in the league, and then play the remaining kind of 11 to 13 players every week for about 2 months. And I think every club's going to be in a pretty dire state. And that's the state Spurs are in. They've been so unlucky, I think, with a variety of things. And it's really, really cost them. But you can just see now that they've got to a point where they've almost kind of crossed the Rubicon in terms of how bad the injuries are. And they're almost only going to get worse because the strain on the remaining players is so great. I mean, it wouldn't be a surprise now, would it, if kind of Richarlison or Saar couldn't play against Brentford next week because of soreness. Because that's kind of the situation Spurs have put themselves in, where it's just a snowball effect, which is why I don't have a huge amount of confidence that kind of the players coming back will necessarily transform the situation, because I think some others will probably be injured in the meantime.
I'll throw in a couple more names for you. Louis van Gaal, Huus Hiddink, who I know is actually, I looked him up because he did a great job when he came back to Chelsea. I think he is about 80 now.
But are you living in 2005?
I am drawing the line at Big Sam. That was suggested by a couple of people. But
what about Roy?
I'm definitely drawing the line at Roy. But, you know, this I was listening to Alan Pardew actually on the radio last night. And the point he made, I'm not suggesting him either, by the way, but he was saying that, Postecoglou, you know, makes a big deal of the fact that it's my way or the byway. I've only got one way. This is us, mate. And he said, that's poor management. You know, if you are that unable to just do the right thing in the circumstances, just change things for this short period of time, you are showing weakness as a manager. And, you know, everyone's talking about Amorim coming in and he's only going to play it one way at Manchester United. And okay, they got a result yesterday, but it's I don't think necessarily a strength. And I think people who defend Postecoglou because he's so brave and he's resting on his laurels, I don't get that. And I just think that shows limitations as a manager. And he is a manager and he's got to manage the situation. And the current situation dictates a more pragmatic approach. And it's not going to happen. And that is why I just feel that a change of any sort, you know, okay, those names I've thrown into the mix are perhaps not appropriate. Maybe there's somebody else that you can think of who's a bit younger, a bit more dynamic. Where's Gary Megson these days? But I just feel that sometimes a change is as good as a rest, and it might spark a revival. And I just don't see any revival occurring if we carry on like this, burying our heads in the sand like ostriches.
I don't know whether you're asking me a question here, but
I'm trying to get you to change your mind, but you're not. You're going to stick. You're basically saying there's nothing we can do, Dan.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. I don't think there's any good solution. I think the club's in a bit of a bind at the moment. I don't see that sacking Postecoglou is necessarily going to make things better, because you haven't come up with a good alternative. And let's face it, the most likely alternative is Mason and or Matt Wells on an interim basis for the foreseeable future or to the end of the season. And I think, in the position Spurs are in the Premier League, it would be an enormous risk to put a kind of untested young interim in charge. I can't think that they would get any of the kind of managers in the Premier League who look very appealing right now, like Frank, Iraola, McKenna perhaps, out of their clubs mid-season. I just can't see that happening. And then I don't see, as I said, a kind of obvious sort of Harry-type figure who could come in, immediately get results, play nice football and maybe build something a little bit longer term. So you've got to remember that those Spurs are in dire straits. They have got, you know, a squad of you know, really exciting young players, and whoever comes in to replace Postecoglou, if someone comes in permanently, will not just be trying to scrap to save the season, but also trying to build something longer term. And I can't think of a candidate who, you know, could come in next week and also, you know, still be exciting at the start of next season. So I think the best bet is to stick with Postecoglou. But, you know, as I've tried to articulate, I think, you know, if Spurs go out of the cups and then it's just kind of hanging on the Europa League and the league results continue to deteriorate, I can see why a manager who kind of wants to play a certain way and perhaps doesn't have the tools to do it is not what you then want in that situation. So at that point, I would probably be, you know, thinking about a change, but I don't.
Big Sam, you've got Big Sam there just in case.
Well, the only one you haven't said is Dyche. I mean, he's out of work, and you know, he's much more modern than Big Bam. So
I've got one more name for you, actually, Dan. Gareth Southgate wants to test himself. Does he fancy coming back into club football? Give him 4 months at Spurs. He probably does quite well, and then either he can
stay at Spurs, or he's
ready for another challenge. I mean,
that would be a gear change.
Well, maybe that's not a bad thing. Well, listen, then we all know, bottom line, ridiculously depressing situation. Who knows? Who knows how they're going to dig themselves out of this, if indeed they will. So Thursday night, Elfsborg, a win required to guarantee a top eight place. Brentford away on Sunday. And of course, then we'll be heading towards those epic 4 days. The away game against Liverpool on the Thursday. Is it the 6th, I think, of February? And then the away game in the FA Cup against Aston Villa on the 9th. I think the two Toms are still travelling back from Germany. If you were listening to our last podcast, you'd have heard them complaining about the surprisingly inefficient German transport system. And actually, Dan, you'll know about this because of the recent European Championships. What's all this about German efficiency? And yet, whenever anyone goes to a football match in Germany, they come back moaning about the transport system. Something's gone wrong there, hasn't it?
Wow, this has gone off left field. Yeah, there was a lot of moaning about it in the Euros. I actually didn't have too many problems, but I did have a rental car, so I don't feel qualified to really comment
fancy
on
you.
German infrastructure.
No. Okay, well, what I'm making is that hopefully Tom and Tom will be back for Thursday night. I mean, getting to the Tottenham Hotspur Stadium could be a nightmare sometimes, depending on the trend. But there we are. Dan Kilpatrick of The Standard, thank you very much. Even Dan, the most optimistic man in the history of Tottenham Hotspur Football Club, is just starting to question whether Big Sam will be required for the last 2 months of the season. And that says it all. I am Marcus Buckland. Come on, you Spurs.
The Jeff Wyler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days. That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall. With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn. But hurry, these offers won't last forever. Visit Jeff Wyler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Nothing says summer like a rich, creamy ice cream float from Skyline. Made with 2 scoops of fresh vanilla ice cream and your choice of Barq's Root Beer, Barq's Red Cream Soda, or any of their Coke products. At participating Skyline locations while supplies last.